In the last shiur that we had, we learned Torah Lamed Gimel in Likutei Moran. And this Torah covered some very important basic concepts in Breslov HaChassidus, in Yiddishkeit, which Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, now the way Rabbeinu Zal presents it, it's possible for a person not to know or not to have a clear idea as to how this applies in practical terms, or where do we see this Torah happening in Jewish history. Rav Nosson Zal, Likutei Halachos, number one, clarifies the chapter on Likutei Moran, brings it down, makes it easier for us to understand it by shedding a lot of light on it, plus by tying it into different items in the Torah, brings it even much closer to home. What I'd like to do in this shiur is do a general review of the Torah outside, and then go through two applications of it, one related to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, one related to the Yom Tov of Purim, that Rav Nosson Zal gives in Likutei Halachos, to really show what this Torah is about. Rabbeinu Zal started off by saying that it's very important to seek shalom. Shalom means to make two opposites equal. And what Rabbeinu Zal said here, it means specifically, is that normally we say that when things are going good for a person, when things are going bad for a person, they don't react the same way. A person, what people call a normal person, is happy when things are going great, and upset, angry, when things aren't going great. And Rabbeinu Zal says that that's not the right way. The right way is that there should be shalom, there should be peace, which means both should be equal. When things are going good for the person, and when things are seemingly going bad for the person should be equally close to Hashem, and equally praising Hashem in both instances. Bashema halel dovor, belikim halel dovor. He quoted that pasuk. And Rabbeinu Zal said, how does a person get to this madrega? Through the Torah, because the Torah is called Shalom. Derecheho darchei noyam v'chol nesivoiseho Shalom. All the paths of the Torah are Shalom, which means that one of the things that the Torah is supposed to teach a person is exactly how to do this, how to be so good, how to be so religious and so connected to Hashem, that whether things are going great or things are going the opposite, in both instances the person has this Shalom. Both are equal. That's number one. Number two, tzaddikim, Rabbeinu Zal says that this is part of the purpose of becoming attached to a tzaddik, because a tzaddik is also, a tzaddik possesses shalom. We find by Pinchas, Hashem said, Hineni noisein lo yes brisi shalom, I'm going to give him my bond of shalom. Bris refers to a tzaddik. A tzaddik is one who excels in tikkun habris. Bris is shalom, which means tzaddikim possess this shalom. A tzaddik is one who has succeeded in achieving this madrega himself. He himself is this way, that when things go bad for him, or seemingly bad, he doesn't lose himself, he doesn't go against Hashem, he doesn't get angry at Hashem in any way, but on the contrary, he's thanking Hashem in both instances. And the Torah is able to teach this to us, and tzaddikim are able to teach this to us. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that a person has to know that the kavod of Hashem is found everywhere, even among the Rishoim, even among the Klipois. He gave even among the languages of the Goyim. He gave the example of Tfilin, Toitofois. That word comes from the languages of the Goyim to show that even over there, don't think it's all bad. There definitely is good there. It's simply that the good is covered up by bad. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this concept of Yemei Toiv and Yemei Ra. There's something that's called Yemei Toiv, which is Toiv, good, period. There's something called Yemei Ra, which you might think is Yemei Ra, period, but it's not. Rabbeinu Zal said, in the Yemei Ra also there's Toiv, and he brought proof from a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Ubiyoim Ra, Re'ei. On a bad day, look. Look for what? Look for the good in it. Because there's no such thing as all bad. The bad has to have in it good. The good is covered up by the bad. And Rabbeinu Zal says that that type of good that's covered up by the bad, you should know that while it's in that state of being covered up by bad, Hashem feeds it very little light. Or it's not shining brightly. In order for the bad not to benefit too much. Because that good is so closely attached to bad, if that good were really powerful, the bad would be getting too much from its closeness to it. Therefore, while the good and the bad are mixed together, Kavyochel Hashem keeps the good down. He keeps its light low. And when somebody can come along and remove the bad, separate the bad from the good, and eliminate the bad, then that good specifically will shine with tremendous brightness. Because on one hand, the type of good that Hashem was willing to risk allowing to be associated with the bad, you can bet that it had to be a very high-level good. Just as Rabbeinu Zal proved when he came to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, which was a super bad place, when Hashem wanted to send good in there to get the Jews out, he couldn't send ordinary good. He had to send the highest level of good. A malach couldn't be sent. A sorov could. Isn't a good enough toiv to survive or to handle being in Mitzrayim. So therefore, you should know that the type of toiv that's found within that ra, covered up by ra, is a super high-level toiv. It's just that it's camouflaged, it's covered up by the ra, while that's the case. Until somebody comes along and zaps the ra, removes the ra, that toiv, Rabbeinu Zal used terminology that it receives an oyer rav mila'ela, it receives a super high-level burst of light. Rabbeinu Zal said, oisei devoroi, lishmoya bekoil devoroi, that the tzaddikim create the Torah. That toiv ain't toiv ala Torah. There's Torah that's hidden there. And the Torah is covered up at first, and then when it's taken out, it receives an injection of light from above, where it shines super brightly. Then, so here he spoke about Yemei Toiv and Yemei Ra. Then Rabbeinu Zal switched and started talking about Yomim versus Das. He spoke that within this concept of Yemei Toiv and Yemei Ra, that's all a concept of Yomim, of Tzimtzumim, constrictions, and he spoke about something called Ahavo Shebiyomim, which is the Torah on a certain level, the Nigla of Torah, the revealed Torah. Because the Torah itself is Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael. We explain that in each and every mitzvah is found Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael, and we see it in some cases, it's more obvious, some cases less obvious. But the Torah is on two levels, the revealed part and the hidden part. The Torah Shebenigla represents a lower level ahavo on the part of Hashem, something that's called ahavo shebiyamim v'shebemidois. The hidden portion of the Torah is called ahavo shebedas, which is a higher level of ahavo. And this Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, that when we use this term, when we say that this toiv that's found covered up by the ra, when you move the ra, the toiv receives an oyer rav mila'ela, Rav Nosson Zal says you should know because the toiv that's hidden there is this concept of ahavo shebedas. It's not ahavo shebiyomim, it's not the lower level sechel or the lower level Torah. It's that highest level of Torah, the secrets of Torah, which represent kavyochol, the crown of Hashem, all kinds of high levels. Rabbeinu Zal also brought the pasuk, he mentioned the number 1 versus the number 7. That the Ahavo Shebiyomim, we know Yomim, there's 7 days, 6 days of creation, plus the seventh day, Yoim HaShvi, which is Shabbos. And then there's this posuk, V'hoyo Yoim Echod Yivod Al Hashem, that there's going to come a time when Kavyochol, the highest level of Das, is going to be revealed, when Mashiach will come. That's called Yoim Echod. That refers to a super high level of light. And this 1 and 7 represent the Ahavo Shebedas, and the Ahavo Shebiyomim. This is this word that we have many places in the Torah, Oz Yoshir Moshe of Nei Yisrael. Oz, the Meforshim bring, not the Meforshim on the Kutim, on the Meforshim, Sifrei Chassidus, all right, that Oz refers to this, the Aleph refers to the Oyer of Laosid Lavoi, just like Rashi says, Yoshir. It doesn't say Shor Moshe, they sang, it says they're going to sing. When are they going to sing? When there'll be a revelation of the Aleph and the Zion. Today, the most we can have is the Zion, the Ahavo Shebiyomim. Lo Sidlovo is going to be this V'hoya Yoim Echod, Yivod Al Hashem, that Aleph, which represents the 1 plus the 7 is Bina, which is the Ahavo Shebedas, which is going into that high level of Kedusha. Then Rabbeinu Zal said that if a person wants to be able to taste this Ahavo Shebedas, there is a way for a person to be zoche to it in this world also. Because he explained that a human being has in him two sections. The lave, which is the koilel of all the midos, the lave, which in this sense represents the ahava shebiyomim, those seven levels in which all the different, the toiv and ra are found there, the yetzer toiv and yetzer ra. Then there's the moyach, which represents the ahava shebedas in a sense. Rabbi Mazal said that a Jew who is zeichet to be mekasher liboy ledaitoy, a person who makes sure that the heart isn't allowed to function on its own whatsoever, but he makes sure that the brain is a balabais over the heart. That even though I want this and I like this, the heart desires it, the brain is still the one that says yes or no. The person doesn't go after shrirus liboy. He doesn't let the heart be in charge and do whatever it wants, but rather he makes the moyach in charge. That person, by being mekasher, the lave, to the moyach, in that way, Rabbein Ezal said he's zeichet to taste this oyer avo shebedas. And Rabbein Ezal said that this refers to tzadikim, that those tzadikim who are koyfeif libam ladas, they're zeichet to the oyer ho avo shebedas, and they're the ones who are zeichet to be able to know how to remove the ra from the toiv. Because they have succeeded in ruling over the toivora inside themselves, the lave, which is this seat of toivora, because they appointed the moyach as a melech and a moishel to control the lave. Because of that, they're zoicha that whenever they come into contact with any mix of toivora, the moment they come into contact with it, the ra is nisbalbel or nisbatel, it falls away, and the toiv is left remaining for them, and then they're able to inject super oyer into this toiv, to bring forth a very bright light from this toiv. This was basically what Rabbi Nazal had presented in this toiv in the Likutei Moran. Now, Rabbi Nosson Zal says, let's take a look at the Yontuf of Chanukah, and you'll see how this whole chapter on the Likutei Moran is a hesper, is an explanation of what happened on the Yontuf of Chanukah. We say in Shmoneh Esrei, Bimei Matisyo, that what did the Yevonim want to do? They wanted lahashkicham toirosecho ulahaviram mechukei ritzoinecho. They wanted to make the Yidden forget the Torah and drop the mitzvahs. And they succeeded to a degree. On which part of the Torah could they succeed? Only on the Ahavo Shebiyomim. Only on the Torah Shebenigla, where there's this potential of toivora in a sense, that's where they were able to have an achiza. Whereas on the Ahavo Shebedas, impossible for them to have an achiza. And therefore the Gemara says that they succeeded in being metame kol hashmanim. They were able to make tame all the oils. Which oils is it referring? Oil represents sechel. Oil is what's used to burn a light, a candle, the moyach. They succeeded in being metame the oils that represented the Ahavo Shebiyomim, a certain lower level of Torah. Whereas, if there was a pach shemen that had on it the chasim of the Kohen Gadol represents the oyer ho'avo shebedas, because the Kohen Gadol, we know that the Beis HaMikdosh itself is called a center of das. The Gemara says, kol mi sheyesh bo deyo, ki'ilu nivne Beis HaMikdosh biyomov. Because the Beis HaMikdosh was the center for the Sanhedrin, which were the Ikar Moyach of Klal Yisrael. But even the Beis HaMikdash itself wasn't all equal. The Gemara says there were different levels of Kiddush in the Beis HaMikdash. A man, a woman was only allowed to go so far in the Beis HaMikdash. A man was allowed to go still further. A Kohen still further. The Kohen Gadol was the only one who was allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Kodesh is Chochmah. We mentioned many times, Kadesh li kol Bechoyer. Bechoyer is Reishis, which is Chochmah. The Kohen Gadol represented the one who was zeichet to Ahavo Shebedas. Why Ahavo? And what was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Oroin and the Luchos. They represented the highest level of Das that Klal Yisrael possessed. Even though the Sanhedrin were in a certain room in the Beis HaMikdosh, obviously the Oroin and the Luchos were considered higher, because people who were allowed to enter into the Lishkas HaGozis, the chamber of the Sanhedrin, was still not allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That represented a higher level das even than that. So the Kohen Gadol, who was the only one who was able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means he had the highest level das, and how do we call it? Ahavo Shebedas. The Gemara says that there's a post, the Oroin had badim to it. the bottom were two long poles that pushed out the poroiches. The poroiches was a curtain that hang, separating the oroin from the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, Bein Shodai Yolin, that Kavyochel Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael is like the love that a mother has for her child, when a mother hugs her child close to her. This pasuk, Bein Shodai Yolin, the Gemara says, this refers to the Oroin Kodesh, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Badim, which pushed out the Paroiches, had the appearance, this motherly appearance. So we see this concept of Ahavu Shebedas, specifically, that it's associated with this love, the Yeminoi Techabkeni, an Indian of Chibuk, an Indian of love. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, this Kohen Godol, who was the one who was zeichet to the Oyer Ha'avu Shebedas, the oil that has his seal on it, they couldn't have any shlit on. The Yevonim couldn't affect it in any way. Because the Ra, is only within the sphere of Yomim. In Yomim, there's Yemei Toiv, Yemei Ra. Once you leave Yomim, once you leave those seven Madregos that are called Yomim, and you go up to Das, which is the eighth level relative to it, there the Ra doesn't have any Achiza at all whatsoever. So, number one, now Rabbein Ezal says in this Torah in Likutei Moran that when there is this Yemei Ra, the only one who can deal with it is the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik, who is Giboire Koyach, Oisei Dvorei Lishmoi Bekol Devoroi, the Tzaddik who has succeeded in being Koyfes Yitzroi, he was Machnia his own Ra, he can deal with this Yemei Toiv, Yemei Ra problem. This is why we find in the story of Hanukkah, that even though many, many Jews, Rachman al-Tzlan, fell victim to the Yevonim, it says there was a Matisyahu, Kohen Godoil, Ubonov, all Kohanim. All Kohanim means all Giboirei Koyach. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh says, Giboirei Koyach, Ilein, these are the Tzadikim, the Mizgabrin al Yitzrehoin, who are Mizgabrin on the Yitzahara. A Kohen is one who has a greater degree of Tikkun HaBris than a regular Jew. The Pasuk says about them, Ki Shamru Imrosecho Uverischo Yinsoiru. They represent a high Madrega of Tikkun HaBris. They're these Giboirei Koyach. That's why they were able to win against the Yevonim. They had been Machnia, this Ra, inside themselves, and therefore they were able to deal with this problem of the Yemei Ra. Now, the Gemara says that they found a pach of shemen, which could only burn for one day, and a miracle happened that it burned seven additional days. A pach of shemen that could burn only for one day means that this represented this das that's called the one day das. V'hoya yoyim echod yivod al Hashem. It represents this la'osid lovoi when there'll be perfect shalom. There won't be any two or three or seven. There'll be only oneness at that time. The highest level of das that we say in Megillas Esther, lo das es shalom Esther. That shalom represents the highest level of das. So this oil normally could only burn for one day. It was able to burn for 8 days, which means that tzaddikim, because they are machnia, the ra inside themselves, they're able to take this oyer of the ahavo shebedas and shine it into the ahavo shebiyomim. They're able to take the super high level of the light of the hidden portion of the Torah and shine it into the revealed portion of the Torah. That's this miracle of the one day, the 8 days of Hanukkah. Rav Nosson Zal says, now we understand also why on Hanukkah, one of the major mitzvahs on Hanukkah is to say Hallel. You say Hallel on Hanukkah, each one of the 8 days. Because Rabbeinu Zal said in Likutei Moran that that's the tachlis. The tachlis of this whole thing is to be zeichet to a sholoim, which means Bashema Hallel Dovor, Belikima Hallel Dovor, where the person can praise Hashem whether things are good or things are bad. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the pasuk, Mehulol Ekra Hashem, Umin oivai ivoshea. Mehul al ekra Hashem, I call Hashem praised. I praise Hashem when? When I'm in the hands of my enemies. Not just when things are going good for me, when I'm in the hands of my enemies, and then umin oivai ivoshea. That's what gets me out of the hands of my enemies. A person who, even when he's in bad places, When he's in the hands of the sitrachar and everything, mahula lekra Hashem, that's what bails him out of the oyuvim. That's what pulls him out of there. And also the fact that in Halel we say, min hametzar korosi ko. Min hametzar implies not fun and games. Min hametzar means that I'm in a metzar, I'm in a constriction, I'm in a problem, in a yerida, in a nefila, in sitrachra, and still korosi ko. What korosi ko? I don't call Hashem in anger. I sing the praises of Hashem even when I'm in Meitzar. This is all this concept as I presented here. Then Rav Nosson Zal goes on to show that this is also the whole concept of giving tzedakah on Chanukah. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch mentions a special halacha of tzedakah on Chanukah. Why? You have to understand. What is an oni? An oni is a person over whom the Yemei Ra have come to visit him. Onani is a person who's being visited by Yemei Ra. The Pasuk says, Kol Yemei Oni Roim. The days of an Oni are Ra. Which means an Oni is a person who finds himself in that place that's called Yemei Ra. The one that gives him Tzedakah. Tzedakah is Miloshin Tzadik. The tzaddik is the one who makes a tikkun for the Yemei Ra. The pasuk says, tzaddik choinein v'noisein. The noisein, a giver, one who gives tzedakah, receives this title of tzaddik. Number one. And number two also, the pasuk says, toiv ish choinein umalve. One who is choinein, one who graces, who gives somebody else, or who even lends to somebody else malve, is called toiv. Toiv eshchonama. That's the yemei toiv. That's the hisgabrus of the toiv against the yemei ra. The oni is the person who finds himself in the gedder of yemei ra. The one who gives him tzedakah is being magbir the toiv against the ra.
Why do you say that? Put the toiv on the individual. Say it could be the differently. Toiv. Good is this attribute
to toiv ish choinein umalve. Just as Yemei Oni Roy. Exactly. Which means that whereas the Oni represents the concept of Ra, Yemei Ra, he finds bad times. That's the expression in English. I'm going through bad times. Bad times means Yemei Ra, right? And the opposite, the one who gives tzedakah, is Bechinas Toiv. This Yemei, he's being Magber the Yemei Toiv. How? Through this Oyer Ho'avo Shebedas. Through this highest level light. Rav Nosson Zal quotes a pasuk, V'tofek lorov nafshecha, by extending yourself to a person who's starving, by giving him tzedakah, Oz yiboka kashachar oirecha, v'hizbiya betzach tzachos nafshecha. This Oz, this Aleph Zion that we spoke about, this drawing from this Oyer Ho'avo Shebedas, V'zbiya b'tzach tzachos nafshecha, tzach tzachos refers to that highest oyer, that oyer ha'avo shebedas, that mazla, that very high place, which Rabbi Nizal is referring to here. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, we could also understand something unbelievable. Every year, around Chanukah time, and usually on Chanukah, we lay in Parshas Miketz. Parshas Miketz is the whole story of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim, the dream of Paroi. Paroi had a dream where he saw seven good cows, seven bad cows, seven good shibolim, seven bad shibolim. The bad swallowed the good. Nobody was able to interpret the dream of Paroi except Yosef HaTzadik. He was able to interpret it, and he was able to find the solution for it. Rav Nosson Zal gives the whole beautiful explanation for this. Who is Yosef HaTzadik? What put him in this position? The fact that he passed the test of Tikkun HaBris. He was put through the test with Potiphar's wife, and he won. He came out victorious. He was the Gibor, the Mizgabrin al Yitzrehoin, who was Mizgabar of his Yetzahara. Through that, he was to have the strength of being Magbir, the Toiv, over the Ra. This is why he was the one chosen to go down to Mitzrayim first, before everybody else. The Meforshim write that were it not for Yosef HaTzadik going down first and paving the way, if the Jews would have gone down without that introduction, they would have been lost there. It's only because Yosef HaTzadik was there first and was machnia the Ra to a certain degree, he made it bearable for the Jews, that the Jews were able to survive 210 years. until, you know, and hold out until Moshe Rabbeinu came and finally bailed him out completely. But the one who made it bearable, this place which was wall-to-wall tumah, Erev HaSoretz is called, it's because Yitzhak Tzadik went there first and was machnia the Ra to a degree, that he made it possible for them. And this he did by passing that test. What happened? As a result of him being koifa his Yetzirah, he became a Moshel over Mitzrayim, which means he showed that he had the power to rule over this Ra. Now, Paro had a dream. What's a dream? A dream is Yemei Toiv, Yemei Ra. The Gemara says there's Chaloim al Yedei Malach, and there's Chaloim al Yedei Shed. That dreams come in two forms. Truth and falsehood. And very often it's mixed together, the Gemara says. The Gemara says there just about isn't a dream without some sheker in it. And that's what's the whole problem with dreams. There are many people who love to look for signs. They want a sign from Hashem as to what they should do, what the person has a suffix, what to do. And one of the forms in which Hashem, if a person's a big tzaddik, Hashem could even communicate to the person while he's awake. Smaller people sometimes are zoichet to have a message sent to them in a dream. But the problem with the dream is that because we are toiv vora, our dreams also have to come in the form of toiv vora mixed together. So how do you know how to sort it out? Who can sort it out? The only one who can sort it out is the one who's able to deal with this yemei toiv, yemei ra. The Gemara says that there's no such thing as a dream without dvorim betalim. Foolishness. Sometimes people have dreams and the whole dream is very true, and then there's one silly, crazy thing in the dream. What does that mean? The Meforshim write that the word betalim, dvorim betalim means foolishness. The word betalim is bigimatria of malach. That there's chaloim al yidei malach and chaloim al yidei shed. The shed, the part of the dream that comes from the shed, is this dvorim betalim, this foolishness. Therefore, it's specifically that tzaddik that succeeded in being machnia the Ra inside himself. He was magbir his das, the one who connected the brain to the heart. He was machnia the Yemei Ra inside of himself. He's the one who's able to interpret, to sort out the Toiv and Ra from the dreams. This was the Yosef who was the tzaddik choinein v'noisein, the one who supported his father and brothers, the big bal tztaka in Mitzrayim. He was the one who supported all of them. So he was the one who was able to interpret the most difficult dream. And what was that dream specifically? That dream was bedafka this whole chapter on Likutei Moran. The dream was the fact that there's seven good and seven bad. That within the seven, within the yomim and midos, there's toiv v'ra. And very often the ra is given such incredible strength that it's able to swallow up the toiv, where it looks as if, just like when the bad cows swallow up the good cows, they became skinny, not they got fat from it. They went back to being perfectly skinny, where the toiv wasn't visible at all. You had no idea that there was toiv there. And it was only Yosef HaTzadik who was able to sort it out. And what was his advice? Yosef HaTzadik interpreted the dream that this refers to seven good years and seven bad years that are about to come, and Mitzrayim is going to be in tremendous danger. And his advice to them was that during the seven good years, make sure you save up enough good, enough food and everything to last for the seven bad years. That's going to be the whole chokhmah here. Rav Nosson Zal says that this is exactly what happens to every single Jew. Every single Jew who wants to come close to Hashem has to go through these cycles. Seven bad and seven good. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker. First darkness, bad, and then good. And then even after there's good, there's again seven bad. The good gets swallowed up again. The person had an aliyah already. It was great. The next day he falls again, yirida again. And when he falls, it's such a bad fall that he forgets there was ever an aliyah. He loses that taste. The thrill and the good and the simcha and the nachas that he had from the aliyah is forgotten and lost completely. That's the hisgabrus of the Ra. And Rav Nosson Zal quote, The higher up he goes, of course, 100%. And Rav Nosson Zal quotes Psukim. The Pasuk says in Koheles, Kol asher timtso yodcho lasois bekoichacho asei ad shato, the Gemara says, ad shato bekoichacho. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles that while you have strength, do as much as you can. And there's another pasuk in Koheles which says, "Uzechoyer es boirech bimei bacharusayich." Remember Hashem when you're young, ad asher lo yavoyu yemei hara, until the bad days will come when you're going to forget completely. Which means that every Jew has to go through this cycle of good and bad. And the only way that a person, if during the good days, the person did enough good just to fill up those days, then when the bad days come, he's finished. Because he didn't store up enough. If a person eats today as much food as they need to exist for one day, that's fine, assuming that tomorrow he's going to have what to eat. But if a person's told in advance, you have 2 days, your cycle is a 2-day cycle, you have to, and you get to eat only on one of the 2 days, then the person understands that he's got to eat enough on day one to cover for 2 days. And Rav Nosson Zal says that's exactly the concept of a Baal Tshuva. Now, a person who's a tzaddik is Yemei Toiv, period. He's rolling. A person who's Baal Tshuva, which means they fell already, and that person is this combination of Toiv Vara, that person's going to have to go through this 7 good, 7 bad. That person's going to have to fight their way out of this constantly. Or even a tzaddik who wants to go to a higher madrega is also a Baal Tshuva, Rabbein Azal says. The whole concept of climbing from one madrega to the next madrega implies that yesterday's madrega was no good. That the level I was on yesterday was no good, because compared to what I see today, compared to how religious I am today, yesterday I was much less religious. That's also a concept of Baal Tshuva. So Rabbein Azal says, a person who wants to be on that track has to know that 100% isn't good enough for them. No, it's for them to daven a normal shachris, you know, a regular shachris with enough kavona for one day is no good, because tomorrow, we're informing the person up front that there's going to be a tomorrow when you're going to have a bad shachris. And unless you packed 200% into your shachris when you were doing well, the 100% that you did yesterday isn't necessarily going to last you for that bad day. So the only etzah for such a person is that when they're in a state of aliyah, when things are good, they got to really, really press, pack more in, pack 200% into one day, that kind of thing, in order to save up. And this was the advice that Yisrael Tzadik gave at that time to Paroi, supposedly, which the fact that it's written in the Torah, he wasn't talking to Paroi, he was talking to Klal Yisrael. He was addressing us for us to know this important Eitzah. There's more, but for now, this is a good example for a person to see the relationship between the chapter on Likutei Moran and the Halacha on Likutei Halachos, and how this ties into a holiday, and how a Jew on Hanukkah, by being Mekayim, the mitzvah of lighting those candles exactly that way, is showing the video of this Torah and Likutei Moran, literally. The 8 candles, the 1 and the 7, and by going to shul and hearing the Kriyas HaTorah of Parshas Miketz, that whole story, it's all of this coming to life. This whole concept of the Avo Shabiyomim, the Toivora, the Avo Shabiyomim, the whole Tikkun, the whole being Machnia Yovon, it's not something that happened 1,000, 2,000 years ago. This is a story for 1991. This story, 1992, this story takes place by every single person, every single year. Every Jew has their Klipas Yovon that wants to be Mashkiach, their Torah, either on Tuesday or on Thursday, whenever that day rolls along, where the person forgets his Yiddishkeit, or loses his taste for his Yiddishkeit, or loses his taste for davening, whatever it is. And that's when all of this advice has to be put into practice. The realization that it's only the tzaddik that can bail a person out when a person's either the tzaddik or the Torah that can bail a person out when a person's in that bad place. This is also the reason Rav Nosson Zal explains in a different place why we say the tefillah for dreams during Birchas Koyanim. Because again, the Koyanim represent the tzaddikim, the mezgabren al yitzreihoim, that they're the ones who can sort out the toiv from the ra. They're the ones who can, the whole bureau of dreams is to separate the good from the bad. That's done bedafka during the time of Birchas Koyanim, where the tachlis of that is the yosem lecho sholoim. Rav Nosson Zal mentions that in this halacha also.
But we're not aiming to sort it out. We're just working on emunah. Our object is not to sort it out. That's tzaddik.
Yes.
Not necessarily. Question.
The answer is not necessarily. We are given to understand that it's that when the Ra is really powerful, then usually it's only the tzaddikim that can turn it around, that can do all of this. But each and every Rav Nosson Zal many times quotes the statement in Pirkei Avos, "Va'amech kulam tzaddikim," that every Jew is expected to try on their level to emulate the tzaddikim. So every Jew on their level is expected to know that I definitely can't do what Yosef HaTzadik was, but on my level, I'm obligated to use the same advice that's given here and the same scenario that's mentioned about the great tzaddikim to apply it. And again, especially with the power of the tzaddik. If a person before doing a mitzvah, if a person before lighting their Hanukkah candles says, "Hareini mekasher atzmi l'chol tzaddikim amiti," then it's not me lighting the candles. It's me holding my rabbi's hand. It's me attached to the tzaddik. And I'm saying that I don't want this mitzvah just by my doing it to accomplish. I don't believe that the mitzvah by my doing it alone can accomplish what it really needs to accomplish. I believe that by turning over my mitzvah to the tzaddik, just like when it came to building the Mishkan, the Jews gathered ingredients, put the ingredients in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, and he's the one who made a Mishkan out of it. Each and every Jew, when they do mitzvahs, is supposed to have the same kavanah. That our mitzvahs are supposed to build a Mishkan. They're supposed to make tikkunim. Those tikkunim could only happen if the mitzvah is done with perfection, if the mitzvah is done the right way, etc., etc. Since we know that we're mostly incapable of that, or very far from it, therefore, we don't do mitzvahs alone. Every time we do a mitzvah, we attach it to the tzaddik. We say, "Arini mekasher," I'm attaching myself with this mitzvah to the tzaddik with the hope and belief that he can take my mitzvah, which is gezi, which is good and bad, and he can use it. He knows how to filter it and how to reshape it and how to fix it up so that it can be used as part of that building. Right.
It was untouchable. Couldn't one assume, though, that others were touched because they would have had on storage more than just one day's storage of oil in the base of Mikdash, so that there must have been other containers that...
With the seal of the Kohen Gadol? No.
It was only one at a time.
Exactly. No. It was only one vial of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol,
right,
that was untouched.
One day's supply. There was only one day's supply, and it would have taken another 7 days to go and get it. So
my answer is I don't know, number one. And even if what you're saying is true, it's still the fact that the Gemara presents it in this way. The fact that the regular oils were made tame. There was a vial of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it that was left pure. And Rav Nosson Zal is saying that you should know that this represents lower levels of Torah, lower levels of Das, the Das that's called Avo Shebiyomin, versus the Das that's called Avo Shebedas, which is untouchable, that the Tuma can't harm.
If I'm supposed to my masim to tzadi, so where does this leave? What's my responsibility? I'm just a clear, empty clear, and that's all.
Nope.
In the tzaddik's hand.
Moshe Rabbeinu was able to build the Mishkan by himself? No way. He had to ask all the Yidden. He had to invite every single Yid to contribute. And each one had what to contribute. Moshe Rabbeinu, as rich as he was, was not given all the gold, silver, copper, wood, everything that was needed. That was found by all the Yidden. Everyone had what to contribute. But the important point was that if everyone would have come like a chacham and said, I'm willing to give it, but I want to put it where I want to put it. The one who brings glass, each one would want his thing to be on top, let's say on the ceiling. Would it work? No. You need someone who's got the brains and sechel to look at all these ingredients, to look at the whole Klal Yisrael, and to know who's a door, who's a window, who's a bathroom, Who's an Aron Kodesh? Who is each one? And how each one is necessary. It's brought that the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh, when people used to give money to Baal Shem Tov, somebody once asked him how he accepted money from a certain person, a Rosha. So the Baal Shem Tov looked and laughed, and he said, what are you doing? You know, you're crazy. And I was implying, what kind of silly question? Of course, when I take money into my hands, every penny that goes through my hands finds its way. This person's money will be used to buy straw for the horses. The horses that pull his wagon need straw. Each person, according to the madrega of kedusha that they're on, according to the level tzaddik they're on, it's understood that what they have to contribute can be used for a higher level of kedusha, for a holier part of the Beis Hamikdash. A person who's on a lower level, their contribution is still necessary and usable, but it's not the same as another person, not all equal. Everybody's there, each one on his madrega. The tzaddik is the one, number one, who sees the good in everybody. He knows how not to discount anybody. He knows how this one is needed, this all are needed. He knows which one is on this level, which one's on that level. And he knows how to be able to select out what goes where. That's his tafkid. Rabbi Elazar once said to his Talmidim that you certainly need me very much, but I without you can't function either. I need you to bring me cement and bricks, and I'll build for you super binyonim. For a person to come to a tzaddik and think that the tzaddik's going to do everything for them is a silly mistake. They're expected to do something. Isarusa de la sata. And then to have the emuna that the tzaddik, because he's so big a tzaddik, even my microscopic nothing, my mitzvah that's so messed up, where it's 999 parts bad, my shachris, there's 1,000 words in it, 999 words I said without kavona, one word with kavona. And the one word that I said with kavona, 999 parts of it were not and still the tzaddik can take that and make something good out of it. He can make it shine, he could make it sparkle. That's the concept of Amunah Sadiq. Then Rav Nosson Zal goes on to show that regarding the Yontif of Purim, we can also understand to a degree how it ties into this Torah Likut Imran. Because just as Rabbeinu Zal discussed a concept of Avo Shebiyomim and Avo Shebedas, that in Kedusha there are these two different levels, a lower level and a higher level, Rav Nosson Zal says you should know that in Tumah also, there's something that corresponds to Avo Shebiyomim, and there's something that corresponds to Avo Shebedas. The Chukois HaGoyim, those things which Goyim do without reasoning, without logic, that represents the Zelu Umazeh of our Avo Shebedas. This is why the Shulchan Aruch is so makbid of ubechukoseim loyseilechu, that a Jew is supposed to stay far away from the chukoseim, those things which are such as avodah zarah, idol worship, which is something which has no rationale to it, and yet still they believe in it. That represents a level of tumah that's so bad and so destructive that it corresponds to this avo shebedas. And Rav Nosson Zal says that when it came to the miracle of Purim, where the Gemara says that they bowed to Avodah Zorah, Hishtachavu Letzelem, that was one of the reasons why Hashem declared that the Yidden were chayev Misa at that time, that they were chayev to be destroyed. This represented a tremendous pigam. The fact that they were going up against Amalek, Haman, who came from Amalek, also, Amalek is not Yemei Toiv Yemei Ra. Amalek is called Rak Ra Kol Hayoim. The last letters of Rak Ra Kol Hayoim spell the word Amalek. Amalek represents a Ra, Rav Nosson Zal says, that's connected the Ahavo Shebedas. Try to imagine what we're talking about here. Rav Nosson Zal says Paroi was a big Russia, right? Super Russia. Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, the worst country. The Arizal says that the word Paroi is Oisiois Ho'oiref. Ho'oiref means the back of the neck. The back of the neck represents the place from which the sechel flows down to the rest of the body. That's still Avo Shebiyomim. That's still Avo Shebemidois. Paroi represents the Russia that's the Zelum Azeh against the Avo Shebemidois. Amalek The pasuk says, "Reishis goyim Amalek." Amalek is the Roish. He's a Ra that corresponds to this Ahavo Shebedas. And this is why the Yidden were in super, super, the Gemara says, what kind of an ace tzora, how dangerous the situation was at that time. The fact that they bowed to Avodah Zorah, the Chukai Sagoyim, they were poigim the Ahavo Shebedas, the fact that they were going up against Hamon Amalek, super tzora. Who was the only tzaddik that could deal with this? Mordechai. The Arizal says that the word Mordechai is bigimatria, Virav Chesed. Rav Chesed, in other words, Chesed itself, is an Indian of Avo Shebiyomim, we said. Yoimom Yitzave Hashem Chazdoi. Rav Chesed is this Avo Shebedas. It represents a much, much higher level of Das, much, much higher level of Rachmonus and Kedusha. Mordechai Tzadik was the one who was able to deal with Haman, to overcome Haman. And the fact that Esther Hamalka, Esther also, Miloshin Sisrei Torah, she also represented this Ahavo Shebedas, not Ahavo Shebiyomim. Therefore, she, only because she was Esther, because she represents Sisrei Torah, she was able to go into the palace of Ahasuerus, into the Tumah, she represented that Oirav Mila'ela, which even going into the palace of Ahasuerus wouldn't be damaged. As the Gemara says, he never touched her. She was always replaced with a Sheda anytime he wanted to be with her. She couldn't be touched because she's like this Pach Shemen with the Chosam of the Kohen Gadol, which can't be touched. I forgot to mention this concept, the 8 days of Hanukkah that we said, Rav Nosson Zal says, correspond to the 8 sprinklings of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where he said, Achas Lemala V'Sheva Lamata, we say. One above, representing to this Avo Shebedas, the Sheva Lamata corresponding to this Avo Shebiyomim, you know, the 7 days. Those 8 sprinklings, which the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, the holiest day, etc., correspond to the 8 candles that we light on Hanukkah. And then Rav Nosson Zal says, going back to the holiday of Purim, that this is the whole concept of Mishloach Monos, which represents this Goydel HaSholoim we spoke about, even when things are good or bad, Bein Bativoi, Bein Ba'akoi, Matonas Levyoinim, all representing the revelation of this Oyer Hagonus, this Avo Shebedas, which is also the concept of Megillas Esther, which doesn't have the name of Hashem mentioned in it openly. You don't see the Shem Hashem mentioned there, and yet this represents that super high level of Toiv. That's why we say Mevatlin Torah L'Shmoya Megillah. This is Torah, this is Torah. Why should we say that you put aside a Shirin Torah for the Megillah if they're both Torah? And on the contrary, the Megillah's Midrabonon at best, in a sense. The answer is that the Megillah represents this Sisrei Torah, this much higher level of Torah, which patters a person, just like the Gemara says, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students were not obligated to say Shemoneh Esrei to Daven because they were studying secrets of Torah, and their secrets of Torah represented a much higher level. So to hear Mevatlin Talmud Torah, L'Shmoya Megillah, because the Megillah represents this Avo Shebedas, the highest level of Torah. Also the concept of drunkenness. We say on Purim, a person must get drunk, Adaloyoda, Bein Or Haman al-Baruch Mordechai, which we mention in this Torah Nikud Imran, that represents this Oyer Ho'avo Shebedas, which that can reach down to Haman. Now that's the Oyer that can even mix with the Ra, and you don't have to worry about it being destroyed or harmed in the process. That's why Purim were allowed to do work. It's not like Shabbos or Yontif, because again, it represents so high level of light that even within Malacha, even the Malacha can't tarnish it in any way, can't harm it in any way. Usually we say you have to do certain things on a day to prepare yourself for the Oyer. Whereas Purim, the Oyer is so high level of light that it reaches down into the Yemei HaChol itself. Now it's into a day when there is Malacha and everything, and still this Oyer permeates all of it. In a certain way, definitely. The Gemara says that in the few when Mashiach comes, all holidays are going to become batel and except Purim. Because in a certain sense, Purim is a higher level of light. That what? The answer is because on the other hand, it still is a disrespect. But technically, halacha, you're allowed to turn on lights, and there's all kinds of things that you are allowed to do. You're allowed to tell a goy to do work, which you can't do in Shabbos. So it's definitely, halacha-wise, it's mutter b'malacha. We say that better not to, because it's a disrespect to Hashem. But halacha-wise, it's mutter.
As far as the threat here, both on both these Yom and Chanukah and Purim, you seem to be saying here that the threat on Purim was greater, and Molik is, was a greater threat, and you know was, the threat was more
than
on Chanukah. But don't we say here that here the Yeshua was more of a physical Yeshua, and that's why we celebrate more the physical? Was Chanukah the threat was to our religion, or is we either wipe out bodies there, wipe out neshama?
Yes and no. Everything's relative. First of all, here we weren't talking about Purim being greater than Chanukah. We were talking, the way we're describing it, Purim and Chanukah are the same in a sense. They both represent this Yom Echod Yivod Al Hashem. They both represent this Ahavo Shebedas that's representing the Tikkun. Both Purim and Chanukah. We said that Amalek versus Paroi, Amalek was a worse klipa. That kind of thing, number one. And what was the other thing you said? The physical versus, but we know that Purim, in other words, again, that's on one level. When they teach kids in yeshiva and everything, or bechlal, let's say, they say that Chanukah, the Yevonim wanted their neshama. They were willing to let them physically live. Purim, he wanted to destroy the body. But what was the ikar that Haman Amalek is after? Is it the bodies or is it the emunah? Amalek represents the Pigam Emunah, you know, all of those things. So, in other words, there was a noticeable difference. No question that the Yevonim, although even by the Yevonim, there was bloodshed, they killed, there was a physical war. But to a degree, here it was more physical, here it was more spiritual, to a degree. But only to a degree. For a Jew to say that Purim was simply, that they wanted to physically kill them is a silly mistake. Otherwise, why was Haman Makbid that they should bow down to him? The whole bowing down, all of those things, was spiritual, not physical.
Okay. Bowing down is a sign of Kenya, that they are surrendering themselves over
right.
to his Shilton.
But that bowing down was idol worship. He made himself an Avodah Zarah. He was Kas, Chema, Vayisapa, all the... The Gemara says, "Kol ha'koyes kilo ev avodah zara." He was a package of avodas of kas of gaiva, which is all idols. He made himself an idol, literally. Kas of gaiva, which is all idols. He made himself an idol, literally.